anybody on the internet hears a crinkling sound, that's not my notes. That's my my dry skin and my dry throat for being here in Colorado. Takes a little getting used to. Hands look like I'm about 99 years old. But the title of my message today is Passing the Test. And I'm going to start with a story about two boys. They're about Mackenzie's age. One boy was very bright. One boy was not so bright. And one day they took a test. And to their teacher's surprise, both boys got 9 out of 10 questions correct. And the teacher thought, you know, something fishy's got to be going on. And sure enough, the answer to the dilemma was on the answer to the 10th question. So the boy who was very bright got to the 10th question and ran out of time, and he wrote, "I don't know." And the boy who was not very bright got to the 10th question and wrote, "I don't know either." So if you're taking notes today, point number one is that in life, as in school, we will be tested. Proverbs 17, verse 3 says, the refining pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. So what does the Bible say God did to Abraham? In Genesis 22, verse 1, it says God tested him. What does the Bible say God did to the Israelites? In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, it says God tested them. So some tests are easy. Coming to the Sabbath, God wants to know where we'll be obedient. That's pretty easy. Some tests are hard. If I have to wander around for 40 minutes in a store, I get pretty irritated. Wandering around for 40 years in the desert would be hard. And some tests are very hard. I think we'd all say that what Abraham went through with Isaac was very hard. One thing tests are not is strange. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." So it is not a strange thing that we have tests. It's not a strange thing for us to have very hard tests. And sometimes the more we have to learn, the harder the tests are. So we can think about Job, and God had to test Job very hard before he would learn the lesson he needed to learn. So if Abraham was tested, if the Israelites were tested, if Christ was tested, then what should we expect? We should expect point number one, which is you and I will be tested. So what happens when we complete a test? Same thing happens that happened in the story with the two boys. The test is graded. In school, when we complete a test, we don't wad it up and throw it away in the trash. We hand it in to the teacher, and the teacher grades it. The same thing happens in this life. When we complete a test, Jesus, the master teacher, grades it. So point two is our tests will be graded. Our words will be graded. Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37, which I'll read for you. Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37. "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So a major test we have to take in this life is what we say, and the Bible says we will be graded on it. Another major test is what we do. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13 and 14, which I'll also read for you. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13 through 14, says, "The fire will test. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is." And then here come the two grades. Verse 14, "If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, if it passes the test, he will receive a reward." So that's the good grade. Verse 15, "If anyone's work is burned, if it fails the test, he will suffer loss. So points 1 and 2, we will be tested, and our tests will be graded. This brings us to points 3 and 4. Point number 3 is we have to take the tests ourselves. It doesn't matter how bright the kid is that's sitting next to us. In school and in life, we have to take the test ourselves. We have to pass the test ourselves. Someone once said, it doesn't matter how tall your father is, you have to do your own growing. Paul gives us essentially the same lesson in Galatians. You can turn there if you'd like. It's Galatians 6, verse 4 through 5. Galatians 6, verse 4. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. For each one shall bear his own load. This brings us to point number 4. Some people will pass the tests, and unfortunately, some people will fail. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will reap also. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So we know that not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only those who pass the tests. Those who pass the endurance tests. Those who pass the love test. Those who pass the testing of their faith. So I have a question. How many liars will there be in the kingdom of God? And the answer is 0, right? So some people will pass the truth tests, and some will not. So what can we do for ourselves to ensure that we pass these tests? The first thing, if we want to pass the tests, is we have to study. So imagine a friend came up to you and said, I flunked a test. And you say, wow, well, how long did you study? And they say, study? I don't need to study. I already know all this stuff. Right? And we'd say that person had deceived themselves. Rarely can we pass a test if we don't study. And I think, in particular, for those of us in the church, it's easy to get faked out about study. Because we know a lot, it's easy to think we know enough, that we don't have to study very much or very long. So maybe that's true for some people, but on important topics like this, I like to take the simple approach. In Deuteronomy 17, God said, the king needs to study Scripture every day. So if you ever wanted to live like a king, it's simple. Just study the Scripture every day, and you'll know what it's like to live like a king. So we have to study. But is study enough? How would you feel about a surgeon who studied everything in the world about heart surgery but couldn't hold a butter knife straight? Right? That's an appointment we probably would skip. So for important things like surgery, like walking the Christian walk, study is necessary, but it is not sufficient. We have to practice. Surgeons have to practice. Christians have to practice what we study. We all know James 1, verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we can fake ourselves out about study and think we can pass tests without studying, and we can fake ourselves out about practicing and think we're going to pass tests without practice. So we need to study, and we need to practice. A reasonable question is that enough? So imagine you have another friend, and they say, I study very hard, I practice what I'm studying, and yet when the hard tests come along, I still struggle. I still fail sometimes. What would your advice be? Would your advice be quit? Probably not. Wouldn't it be good advice to say, ask for help? Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16. For the last verse here. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why do we come to the throne of grace? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Someone once joked that as long as there are tests in school, there will be prayer in school. So we would say prayer alone is not enough. Sorry, we would say study alone is not enough. We would say practice alone is not enough. We need to study. We need to practice. And in times of need, we should ask for help, which in biblical terms means to pray. So when God calls people to account, what are some of the things he might ask them? He might ask, why didn't you study? You could have studied. You should have studied. You had all the time to study, but you didn't study. Why not? And the unfortunate answer some people may give is, I don't know. When we have to give account, let's be sure we don't have to answer, I don't know either. God might also ask, why didn't you practice good works? I gave you good laws and good statutes. I promised rewards for good works. And I promise you forgiveness when you slipped and repented. Why didn't you practice what I preached? Some people may have to answer, I don't know. When we have to give account, let's be sure we don't have to answer, I don't know either. Instead, let it be said of us that we studied and we practiced and we prayed. Let it be said that we studied so we knew what to do. Let it be said we practiced and practiced until we got better and better at doing the right thing. And finally, let it be said that we prayed. We prayed for help when we needed it. We prayed in faith. We prayed fervently. And we prayed humbly. Brethren, these things need to be said of us if we want to pass the test.